It seems criminal. It is criminal to fade out that music. But if we continue playing the overture, we'd want to play the whole CD, and then you and I wouldn't get to talk at all. Welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast, sponsored by Decca, the opera label. My name is Jana Wichlow, and today I'm with Gianmarco Segato.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it is quite early. I feel about an octave lower than normal. Today we're going to listen to and talk about Mozart's The Magic Flute, and that's the overture you were hearing just there. It's one well known to many of our listeners. There's a reason it's one of the best-loved operas of all time. A new production will be part of the Canadian Opera Company's winter season, along with John Adams' Nixon in China. There are 12 regular performances of The Magic Flute, and we're going to have a special performance by the young artists of the Ensemble Studio. So this is one performance on the main stage, the same production, but all the singers will be cast from the Ensemble Studio. And all the tickets for this one performance, and it's on February 17th, are just $20 and $55. So it's an ideal way to introduce your friends to opera, and young people, families, you know, groups of people can come with the tickets that price. Why not? So for all the ticket information you might want, please visit our website at coc.ca. There's much more there as well. There's our blog, Parlando, which has some fascinating behind-the-scenes coverage of the building of this production. There are costume sketches, and you can see bits of the scenery being built. And there are photographs of the maquettes, or set models. You can take a magic flute quiz and enjoy a listening guide. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, where you can get our podcast updates and leave feedback or ask questions.
Yes, and we'd really like to encourage listeners who are out there to ask us questions, let us know what they think about these podcasts so that we can sort of turn them into what you're looking for. So today we're going to look at the music, listen to the music, hear a bit about the story, the background of the opera, and of course, more about our new wonderful production. And the music we'll be listening today is from a 1991 Decca recording. Sir Georg Scholti is the conductor of the concert. Now, John, you'll have to help me on this one.
Konzertvereinigung Wiener Staatsopernchor.
And the Vienna Philharmonic. Jan is really good at those long German names.
I've just been practicing the last couple of days.
So we've heard the overture, and what we're going to hear next is Prince Tamino's wonderful aria, Dies Bildnis ist bezauber schön. At the start of the opera, Tamino is being chased by a serpent. He collapses, and the serpent is killed by three ladies who've appeared suddenly on the scene. When Tamino revives, he meets Papageno, an irrepressible bird catcher, who tries to claim credit for saving Tamino's life. The three ladies reappear and scold Papageno. They show Tamino a portrait of a beautiful young woman, and she's the daughter of their queen, the Queen of the Night. Tamino is instantly smitten with the portrait, and then he sings this wonderful aria. We'll hear tenor Uwe Heilmann as Tamino.
Ich fühle es,
Well, in our COC production, we'll be hearing two Tamminos over the course of the 12 performances, and what tenors they are. They're both Canadian, Michael Schader and Frederick Antoun. We also have American theatre and opera director Diane Paulus directing this new production. She's worked extensively in theatre and opera, very successfully with Chicago Opera Theatre, and her Tony Award-winning production of Hair was a hit on both Broadway and London's West End. Her set and costume designer is Myung-hee Cho, with whom she's also worked extensively. Together, they're creating a magic flute with a strong sense of playfulness and a whimsical nod to childhood fairy tales. This is definitely a family-friendly production that doesn't lose any of the deeper ideas that the opera brings to mind.
And that's one of the appealing aspects of this opera, that it functions on so many levels. So you've got these shticky kind of vaudeville bits almost with Papageno, and then you have a very serious story of Tamino and Pamina, and Tamino's going through trials, and it's
Profoundly noble choruses.
Exactly. Sarastro
and his priests. I mean, really moving and beautiful and thought-provoking. And it's interesting that Mozart, who with his librettist Schikaneder were writing basically a vaudeville, something they were specifically writing a piece for an audience that wanted entertainment.
Exactly.
And as rioters are some of the comedy, I don't think Mozart could help himself. He wrote a magical, masterful opera with real depth. So yes, you can enjoy it on many different levels.
Yes.
You can take a look at how a production will appear by checking out the beautiful costume sketches by Myung-hee Cho. If you go to our homepage, you can choose the Center COC e-card, and we have two of those sketches as options. I think it's Papageno and the Beautiful Owl.
Mm.
There's an 18th century feel to the designs with some contemporary elements. Now, the actual production is based around the name day of a young woman or her birthday. And the idea is that guests are coming, family is arriving, And what they're going to do as part of the entertainment for her celebration is to put on a production of the Magic Flute. And what was interesting at yesterday's concept discussion, when the cast and the administrative staff of the company gathered for the first day rehearsals to hear what was in store, was that apparently in the first year after Flute was premiered, it was such a hit that not only was it performed in different theatres, but actually people would organise performances in their homes. Mm-hmm. And this is a sort of idea.
Right.
So on the stage we'll see this lovely little stage set up for the family and friends to start to put together this production of Magic Flute. And then as the opera progresses, we go deeper and deeper into the story until the stage disappears and you're deeper into the garden of this lovely house and the actors become the characters.
Mm-hmm. And what was interesting, what the designer mentioned yesterday, that there's real historical precedent for this sort of thing. They had researched beautiful Italian estates where they had outdoor theaters and they would put on shows, I suppose, out in these beautiful gardens.
I think he called it green theater.
Yes,
these
yes.
Beautiful grassy spaces, which are like, you know, which are outdoor amphitheaters.
Yeah, amphitheaters.
Mm-hmm. I thought I'd love one of those. I only have a garden, but now I want a theater in my garden. So as I said, the family and friends become characters in the opera. The father is Sarastro, the two head servants become Papageno and Papagena, and the young woman obviously is Pamina.
And I think it was mentioned that Papageno is actually the head gardener.
That's
so
right.
He'll be in his natural element, because Papageno is a bird catcher, so he's a creature of nature. So yes. It makes sense that the gardener would be playing Papageno.
And as much as he's a servant, it's his domain.
Exactly, yeah. So now getting back to the story, the three ladies tell Tamino that Pamina is the prisoner of the evil Sarastro, and that if he can rescue her, he can marry her. They give Tamino a magic flute to help him in his quest, and to Papageno they give a set of magical chimes. Three boys will also help them in their journey. Papageno is the first one to come across Pamina, and he saves her from the lust of Zarastro's slave Monastatos, and tells her that the handsome Tamino is searching for her. She's delighted, and together they sing of the supremacy of love. And in this delightful duet by Mannern, we'll hear Ruth Zizek as Pamina and Michael Krauss as Papageno.
Thank you.
It's wonderful that Pamina's so happy that Tamina's willing to marry her if he rescues her. She's never seen him or met him, but I think she's quite excited about
it. It's one of those operatic conceits we just have to go along with, I think.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Ingmar Bergman film?
I have to say, I have not seen it ever, but I've heard a lot about it.
Well, we're going to have to set up a viewing then.
Yes.
It's magical. It was my first experience of magic flute, and witnessing the lovely little theater that is the Drottningholm Opera House, which seats, I shouldn't guess, but maybe it's 100 people. It's so tiny. And Ingmar Bergman did a beautiful job. It's in Swedish. It's shortened. It's only about an hour and 45 minutes. And he takes a few liberties. For example, Sarastro in his opera is actually Pamina's father. And so for the longest time, I thought that's the way the opera was actually conceived. At the concert discussion, Myung Hee Cho mentioned she had seen the Ingmar Bergman film and loved its simplicity and the way it manages to focus a pretty wide-ranging story with lots of little things going on, but focuses on the central pair of Tamino and Pamina and their journey. Young man and woman going through trials of growing up, learning to, you know, select their own ideals, you know, what sort of people they will be, separating from their parents.
Given that we know that she's seen this film now, I think some of the inspiration for our scenery probably comes from this idea of the Baroque theater, where you see everything, how it works. You know, you see the mechanics, so you see the way they lift the backdrops and that sort of thing.
Right, right. The little wooden cranks.
Yeah,
things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, if anyone has seen any productions from Drottningholm, because there are several of them on DVD, it's really something, because it's a perfectly preserved Baroque theater, and I think even a lot of the original sets somehow survived, or enough of them that they could reconstruct them.
They probably had those little rolling wooden waves.
Yes, yes.
I'd love to see that.
It's very charming, yeah.
Well, Pamina in our production is played by two Canadian sopranos who will share the role over 12 performances. We have COC favorite Isabel Bayrak-Darian, who sung the role extensively, including at the Met, and an ensemble studio member and certainly a rising star, Simone Osborne. Papageno will be sung by the baritone Rodion Pokosov, who was last seen by our audiences as Figaro in The Barber of Seville. That's a popular role for him, as is Papageno, which he sang in the Met's abridged Julie Taymor production,
yes,
which some of our listeners may have seen. And this new production is being conducted by the COC's music director, Johannes de Bus. Well, Tamino is informed that it's the Queen of the Night, not Sarastro, who's the villain of the piece. As the prince continues to search for Pamina, invisible voices tell him that she is indeed alive, and filled with joy, he uses his magic flute to bewitch an assortment of wild animals of the forest. And at this point in the production, you know, wild animals come on stage, and they're always very charmingly done. And we had a brief look at some of the animals yesterday at the concept discussion, and you can see sketches of them online. And they are really quite wonderful. There's also, I believe, on our blog, you can see pictures of tenor John Kreiter modeling the enormous giraffe head costume. They're just going to be a delight. They always are.
Yeah.
Well, we'll listen to Tamino's literally enchanting flute music here with Uwe Heilmann as the prince.
Zauber von Weihnacht. Das ist Papagenos Ton. Vielleicht sah er Pamina schon, vielleicht galt sie mit ihm zum Meer, vielleicht.